So one of the verses that that we've already talked about in the book of Amos is in verse 7. I want you to just kind of skip forward to verse 7. Now, if you want to look through it, if you want my whole outline of the book of Amos, I don't mind giving it to you. I just kind of went through, and as verses were talking about it, and I just kind of gave a brief description about what these talk about. But basically, when we get to chapter 3, you know, chapters 1 and 2, it talks about all these nations that had done bad things and how God was going to judge them. And we looked at those things, and the way that they were judged happened according to the Scripture. Just like Amos said it was going to happen, it happened. We can go and we can find names, we can find dates, we can take you to the place that happened. We can show you that it is just like Amos prophesied. Now that becomes very important, because when you get to chapter 3, we see something different. We know what's going to happen to Israel, but it hasn't happened yet. And God is reaching out to the people of Israel. It's not talking about Judah, it's talking about Israel. Everything above in that Damascus area where Israel was in control. Y'all understand that the nation of Israel split, right? Right after the time of Solomon. Jeroboam came on the scene, and he wanted power more than he wanted to be humble, and not like Solomon, not like David. He was something different. And he ended up breaking the kingdom in half. And the north became Israel, the south became Judah. So we're talking about Israel. We're talking about the north. Jeroboam plunged them into sin with building the false tabernacles at Bethel and at Dan. And that is where those people in Israel, most of them, went to worship. And they worshiped Baal. They worshiped the golden calf. Just like Israel had problems with out in the desert, they've got problems with it again. And with that came a lot of immoral lifestyles. They were sacrificing their babies. They were committing adultery. They were involved in homosexuality. Everything, every foul sin that you can think of, they were doing it. They were not above that. We saw this morning that they weren't even above cannibalism. That's how low they sank. That's how bad they were. Do you understand that the United States arrested some cannibals from Florida last year? We have heard about, I forget what the criminal's name was, but he did that. What was his name? That they found him back in like the 80s or something. Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, he would kidnap people and he would eat them. He was a sicko, wasn't he? Hey, that is a sign of a moral depraved mindset in a nation. When we start doing that, there's nothing we're not capable of. Those are just warning signs. Israel went through the same thing. But I want to show you something in verse 7. Because God doesn't just say, you know what, I'm over you guys, I'm done with you, you did those things, I'm finished with you. God doesn't do that to people. He's never done that to people. Do you understand that? He's never, ever, ever done that to people. He's always reached out to the worst criminals. He reaches out to them. I don't want to reach out to Jeffrey Dahmers. I'm okay with them going to the electric chair. In fact, I would do it for free if they would let me. Because that's how despicable I think that kind of lifestyle is. But God's hand of grace even reaches those when mine doesn't. And He reaches out to those like Cain. He reached out to Cain. He reached out to David. He reached out to Israel. Let me show you something, though. As He's reaching out and He's going to send judgment, He forewarns them, it's coming. Look what God does. This is how He begins to reach out to them. He tells them, it's coming. Look in verse 7 of chapter 3. It says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets." He tells some people what's going to happen. You know, sometimes people don't even know they're speaking for God when they're doing it. I think they're kind of like that sometimes, especially in our day and age, because nobody wants to say, "Oh, I'm a prophet." That's a spiritual gift that's gone, long gone. Amos, he's like, whenever we'll look there, he's like, "I wasn't a prophet. I didn't ask for this. I herded sheep. I was just fine doing that, but God gave me a word and He gave me a message and He said, go tell them. Judgment's coming. Tell them what the judgment is that's coming." And God says, "I'm not doing anything to a group of people unless I tell my people first." God has already been talking through some people. He's talked through Billy Graham. I think he's talking through guys like Jonathan Kahn. He normally speaks through like his Jews. Jonathan Kahn is a Messianic Jew. I don't know if you've read any of his stuff, but it's some crazy stuff that he's telling, and we are lining up with that. Now, whether he is a prophet for this day, it's hard to know until he's proven wrong. Now, they did get caught up in the Blood Moon stuff, and he never really predicted a date, but they said it means something. And then right after those four blood moons, we come into some things going on in this year that's crazy. Don't y'all think there's some crazy stuff going on? How about the fires that are burning up the state of California? That, by the way, is about to plunge economically. How about the crazy weather that they're having up in the north? How about the weird volcanic activity that's going on around Yellowstone and around Hawaii and all over the world? How about the Crimson Tide that's down in Florida that's killing everything? How about the massive hurricanes that's happening? How about the crazy heat wave that's going on all over the world? There's things going on that is happening after that. And God said, "Hey, I'm gonna send you some signs." People were telling us that these were coming a long time ago. If you've been kind of watching that group of folks at what they were saying these type of things are coming. 30 years ago they were talking about some of the things that we're starting to experience. I think there's a word for America in here too, if we're willing to receive it. A word for God's people, if they're willing to receive it, from the book of Amos. That's one verse I wanted to highlight. As you go through some more verses there, God says you know what to do, you know how to do right, but you just continually refuse to do right, and because you refuse to do right, I'm going to send my adversary. I'm going to send you an adversary. Remember when we talked about that in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 21? His four sword judgments. Do you have that verse, Caden? Ezekiel 14 and 21. Y'all can look in there. If y'all can look back to that verse. If you ever mark in your Bible, this is a good verse to mark. These are God's weapons of mass destruction. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 21. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, how much more when I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence to cut it off from man." You know, those are things that was talked about in Leviticus. It was whenever you read Matthew chapter 24, it looks like the four sword judgments that's going to happen to the whole world at once, not just a nation, not just a city. That means something. And God says in verse 11 in chapter 3, He says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled." Basically what He says is, I'm going to send it. It's going to surround you. He's going to send out the predators. You know, one of the things that I've learned in the past few years is that man can become one of the worst predators. Pedophiles, they're predators. They are evil. You can't tell me that they're not functioning in their mind just like a lion. seeking whom they may devour. You know how I know that? It's because when they kidnap a child and they do those horrible things, those horrific things to them, you know what they do with them? They kill them and leave them for dead. And we have got an epidemic going on in our nation of kidnappings just happen all over the place. I mean, that's something we can't ignore that. I don't ignore that. I've got four children. I'm concerned for them. I'm worried that they're some lady that, I mean, and it's getting close to home. It just happened back last fall with one of our young girls from Truman who worked in the library. Some guy convinced her to go with him, and he took her but the word got out, and they caught him up in Nebraska, taking her somewhere. That's happening all over. It's rampant. It's rampant. And they have made themselves beasts. And then we have all these pestilence that's going on. We don't even know how this winter is going to look because crops have suffered some major devastations this year. So we're just going to have to see. I'm just saying, God is using those to reach out to us, and He wants us to do this. He wants us to repent. He wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us to seek His face and to turn from evil ways. If there's any wicked way inside of me, the psalmist would say, Lord, would you show me? Is there anything wicked so that I can turn from it? You see, the psalmist was not above that. He knew that even he was capable of doing things, not even realizing it. You know, when Bathsheba came on the scene, he did some things that he would never do. And he didn't even realize how bad he had plunged himself into a sinful lifestyle until he was approached by God's man who said, that is sin, David. And what did David do? He humbled himself. And he says, God is right and I'm wrong. And that is what God wants us to do as a people and as a nation. I'm going to show you some other things on that. But as you go through chapter 3, you know, God spares only portions of it. I'm glad that there are some safe zones somewhere for God's people to hide. We see that all through the Scriptures, that God provides a place, a sanctuary for His people. He did that with Elijah. He's done that with many people in the past. The Lord is the Lord of hosts. He offers the warnings. You know, one of the warnings when you get into chapter 4 is that you see environmental and climate issues rampant. Is that going on? That's going on in the whole world right now. They want to call it climate change. It's something going on. The devil would say it's because of man. But it's not because of man. It's because of God. And He's trying to get our attention. He wants us to understand. If it was just a man that was doing it, we could fix it. But there's no man making volcanoes go off. I think the other day I saw a number that there's been over 90 volcanoes popping this year. That's unprecedented. Earthquakes are getting worse and worse. We saw in that convergence film that they showed a really good diagram of earthquakes. They're more frequent, they're bigger, they're stronger. Hey, that's something that we're living in. We're living in those days. That God is reaching out, calling us to repentance. He's given us the warnings. Look in chapter 5, in verse 4. In verse 5, and we're going to read through 6 here. It says, For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, Seek ye me, and ye shall live. Aren't you glad that's written there? In the middle of all this craziness that Amos is telling Israel, he says, Seek ye me, and ye shall live. That's His hand of grace reaching out. And I don't even think it's just to the nation. I think it's to people, individuals, saying, if you would seek me, you'll see safety. Now, whether that, what that actually means, I don't know. It may mean that he protects you. It may mean that he takes you to a place of refuge. Remember Joseph? That God spoke to Joseph in a dream and said, leave Bethlehem. Protect the child. Go to Egypt. As the scripture saith, I have called my son out of Egypt. God spoke to him. Said, Joseph, you got to leave now. And Joseph woke up in the middle of the night. He grabbed his wife and his newborn adopted son and went to Egypt. And he stayed there until the evil had passed. It may be that God speaks to his people and he says, it's time to go. Don't turn back. Remember the scripture that talks about that blood, that woe is them who give suck in those days, that have little babies and they look at them and they're like, my child is going to have to grow up in this craziness. I kind of think we might be living in some of those days, or at least we're seeing the precursors to those. Where, how in the world are my children going to be saved? How are they even going to get to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior with all this junk that's coming at them? If you're going to be a parent today and you want your children to live for Jesus Christ, you have to take extraordinary precautions to protect your children, their mind and their eyes. If you're going to live right in this day and age, you have to take extraordinary precautions to protect your mind, your eyes, your ears, because it's flying at you like bullets. You have to have on what the Apostle Paul would say, the armor of Almighty God, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and the fiery darts that are flying at you. They're tremendous. But God says, seek ye me. But seek not Bethel. Remember Bethel? That's the false religious system that was set up by Jeroboam. That was one of the first places. He set up the golden calf and he says, it's too much for you to go down and worship God. It's too much for you to go to a church. Go over here. The music's better. The message is better. It's softer. Nobody over here is going to talk about your sin. No one over here is going to condemn you. You just do whatever you feel is right and we're just going to be there to support you. That's Bethel. Enter not into Gilgal, pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, here it is again, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. He's basically saying, if you're going to go anywhere, don't go to Bethel, don't go to Gilgal. Gilgal, whenever the Assyrians came in, the first place to be taken captive was Gilgal. When they went to Bethel, they slaughtered everything there. That's what history has shown. And Amos said, don't go to those places anymore. Leave those places. It's dangerous. Do you believe Almighty God? He's saying, beware of those places. Look at verse 14 and 15. Because God even gives them, He even gives them instructions. You know, when we read Jonah, we see that Jonah went to Nineveh and he's like, I didn't want to go to Nineveh because I knew that God was merciful, and if they would repent, then God would, He wouldn't bring out the judgment that He said He was going to do. But He offered that warning through Jonah. Jonah was supposed to present a message like Amos, but that wasn't his message. He showed up and he said, you got 40 days to get your act together, and God's going to destroy this place. And I'm excited about that. That was Jonah. That's how Jonah preached. You want that type of preacher in front of you? It tells you, you're all going to get hurt. You're all going to suffer. And I'm excited about that. I'm wanting to see that. Because y'all are living so wrong. Well, I'm not that type of preacher. I think I want to be more like Amos. I want to tell you, hey, yeah, it's coming, but there's hope. There's a way. There's a way to protect your nation, God's people. There's a way to help your people out, your kindred, your family, your neighbors. Look in verse 14. It says, "Seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good. Establish judgment in the gate, and it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph." You see, we've got a big problem in America. Because I don't know that we really hate the evil that much. You know how I know that? Because the pornography industry is just making all kinds of money. I read an article the other day that said when the church conferences come into the cities, into the motels, that their internet, their pornography website hits spikes when the preachers are in town. Do y'all see a problem with that? If the preachers don't hate the evil, how are the people? They're supposed to be preaching the messages. They don't hate the evil. You know, I'm calling out, you know, I guess for lack of better words, the calling, the profession that we're standing in, that's the problem. People that stand behind that, they think it's a profession. They think they're supposed to be getting paid for that. That's not why we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be there because God's got judgment coming to a group of people. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to suffer like that. I want you to hate the evil and to hold men of God accountable. And not just the men that stand back there, but the men who sit in the pews that are leading the church. The ones that are coming up that we're supposed to be mentoring. The young ladies. It's spiking on the young ladies. Abortion. People that say, "I believe in Jesus Christ," are getting abortions. People that say they believe in Jesus Christ are doing drugs. I thought it was just crazy when I was in the Air Force and I'm talking to this guy. And he was hyper-charismatic type guy. And he's like, "You know, I've been slain in the Spirit and I've spoken in tongues." And he's kicked out of the Air Force for doing drugs. How does that happen? If you're so filled with the Holy Spirit that that's happening to you, how do you use drugs? How do drugs compare to the Holy Spirit? The problem is that wasn't the Holy Spirit that had a hold of him. It was an evil spirit that had a hold of him. And he had given himself to the evil because he loved the evil and all the things that went with it. He was involved in a lot of other things, not just the drugs. But he didn't despise the evil. And when we've got people that say, "Oh, I'm a born-again believer, I'm a churchgoer," and they don't hate the evil and love the good, how can a just God say, "I'm okay with that," and say, I'm not going to issue judgment out when God's own people don't believe the warning? And that's what Amos was dealing with. Friends, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with that. Those are the instructions. How could we stop it? By doing that. By doing that. Look in chapter 6. Look at verse 1. It says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief among the nations to whom the house of Israel come." You see here, they're at ease. They're like, nah, nothing's ever going to happen. They're trusting in their border security. They got the mountains around. You know, they think, we can keep them out. It never kept them out. We've been reading about it. Ben-Hadad surrounded Samaria this morning, didn't he? That border didn't keep them out. They came on anyway. And you realize, what kept Samaria? What kept Israel at that time? They had Elisha. They had just had Elijah. They had some men of God who stood up against the evils of the world. And they proclaimed their voice loud, and they stood their ground. And anyone who doubted, they didn't mind pointing the finger back at them and said, "God's going to get you. Your day is numbered. You're going to see it, but you're not going to taste it." And that was a regular occurrence with Elisha and Elijah, holding the king's feet, holding the leader's feet to the fire of good and the word. But when that ends, when Elisha's gone, something happens. The voice that's standing so strong starts to dissipate. And when that voice goes away, the evil comes in and takes them away. You see, that's why there needs to be more guys. I just believe this. There needs to be more people looking at Amos and the message that is in this. And by the way, this message is in one-third of the Bible. Okay? One-third of the Bible tells this message of warning, because God understands people need that. Yes, God is love and He wants to save the sinner, but He's not so loving that He will allow you to just plunge yourself into sin and to do wickedly without Him bringing on judgment, because true love allows judgment. You know, if you've ever had a child and you love your child, you would never just allow that child to do whatever it is that they wanted, would you? When they start doing something bad, you know, when they go over to the electrical outlet and they want to stick their finger in it, how many of you want to give them a fork? They say, "All right, it's okay. You'll have fun with this. You'll like it." I've messed around with them a little bit by doing that. And they're like, "No, I'm not doing it now." But I never would, even though I would say it to them just to try to get their attention away from it. I would never do it because I wanted to protect them. But somebody who says, just do whatever you think feels good. You know, it might feel good to stick your finger in a light socket. I don't know. I touched a lamp one time that was on, and it didn't feel very good. I thought it was a good idea at the time. I was wrong. I felt it all the way to my elbow for 3 hours. Yeah, I thought putting up an electric fence was a good idea one time, too. And it got me. Kept the dog out, but it also kept me out a couple times, too. Because it gets you. The border's not going to do it. They think that the evil day is a long ways away when the violence is right there. Do you realize what's happened in Chicago? Do you know what's happening in Memphis? Hey, do you know what's happening in Jonesboro? Violence is in our back door. I mean, I was hearing about some guy that it was at one of the come and goes, and he was robbing people at the gas pumps. I mean, what do you think about that when you're like, the one he didn't rob, he was a concealed carry guy. They're telling us, I see it all the time in articles, that churches need to have armed security. That's what they're telling everybody, because somebody's going to come through there. They want to hurt you. They want to shoot you. When that's coming to us, that's getting personal, isn't it? They live a lifestyle revolved around pleasure. It's revolved around music. And even their music has chanting in it. Look, if you don't believe me, look in chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, that chant to the sound of the viol, and they invent instruments. I've never seen such an invention of instruments here lately. And you know, we often complain about those 7-Eleven songs that they have brought into the house of God. Did you know? Here the Bible says, that's what happens. They start chanting. They do over and over and over again the same few verses, or the same few words. You know, there's one song on the radio now. I was listening to it. I think it has a total of 10 different words in it, and it lasts about 5 minutes long, and they just repeat that. My kids can't even stand listening to it. They're like, Dad, turn it. We can't listen to this song. Hey, the book of Amos says, when this mindset is settling in, that's the type of music that they like. They like the chanting. They like those songs that's not very deep in their meaning, and they just repeat the same words over and over again. That's chanting. Y'all didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? They take care of themselves, but they disregard what is really happening. That's verse 6. The sins. Let's look at verse 6. It says, they drink wine and bowls and anoint themselves with cheap ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. See, those sins are bringing in God's judgment. God basically has no choice. You know, and God really doesn't have to do anything. The natural result of sin is judgment. That's just what happens. God doesn't have to do anything. All He has to do is just take His hand away. The natural result of it is judgment. It's like the world starts groaning in pain. Does the Scripture say that somewhere? It does, doesn't it? That the world starts having a problem with it. The world starts wanting to get rid of the sin because it can't even stand it. And you know, that's what we're seeing that. And I know this isn't the greatest happy message. I understand that. Hey, keep in mind, we haven't gotten to the end yet. Amos has a good ending. But before he gets to the good stuff, there's a lot of warning in between there. Because I just want to give you a precursor to the end. It talks about a time when God takes all the evil away. Jesus is coming back. And He says, when you start to see these things happening, you know, we feel like we're overwhelmed. And our job as Christians is to get God's Word out. It's to be missionaries, to proclaim His Word, to proclaim the desire of Christ. What's the desire of Christ? Look unto the fields, they are white unto harvest. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. That's what Jesus wants from us. That's His desire for us. He doesn't want us to get distracted from that, but He does need, but we can't present the gospel of Jesus Christ without issuing the warning first. You know, what good does it do you to tell somebody, hey, you know, Jesus died for your sins, He saved your soul, without ever telling somebody that their soul is really in danger and proving it to them? It doesn't do any good. They're like, okay, yeah, what do I need to do? I want to go to heaven. And they'll say a prayer, but that prayer doesn't save them. Because they need to have that prayer of repentance. They need a humble and a contrite heart. That's the Scripture even talks about that in several places. Romans 10 will say it kind of like this. They confess with their mouth and they believe it in their heart. They want the change. They want to be different. They want to turn from that. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, before he ever gets to that soul-saving part, he says, there's none righteous, no, not one, not even you. We've missed the mark. The wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from Almighty God. It's eternal separation from heaven. But the gift, God can change that eternal destiny. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? You know, we have to share the warning. We have to know what the Bible says about the coming judgment. Hey, the world is paralleling Amos. Does that make sense to you? What we're seeing is paralleling Amos. And God is reaching out to us. And He wants God's people to not just repent, but to really live in a state of revival. To really have an awakening in their own life where they submit themselves 100% to Jesus Christ. And they give Him everything in their life. Everything. That means your extracurricular activity, your hobbies, your TV set, your radio, where you eat, where you shop. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to accept that. That's what the Amos message is trying to portray. I know we didn't get very far, not near as far as I wanted to, and I was just hitting highlights. We're going to finish it up next week, and it's really, really good stuff. I'll try to get it into about a 30-minute, I think I can do it in 30 minutes, the last chapters, because when you get to 8 and 9, it's all one, it's combined together, and it won't take long to get through that. But be praying for our nation. Be praying for our churches. And I think God is moving. Yeah, there's a lot of guys who aren't teaching right, but then there's a lot that they're seeing this message. God is talking to them. He's talking to them the way that He talked to Amos, I think, and He's showing them the judgment of God is coming. Make sure your people know it's coming. But after that, Jesus is coming. When he's trying to reach out to the nations prior to Him coming back, He reaches out. I think He does anyway. I see that through the Scriptures. Right before, and as we're looking at it, I think God's going to reach out to the United States. I think Brother Sean was even praying about it. Seeing one more major revival before Jesus comes back. All the churches are wanting it. All the churches are wanting to reach out. We're just struggling to understand how do we reach out into such a noisome environment that's plagued with all of this stuff. Well, one of the things that we've seen is those things come to naught. They can't supply. It looks like the millennial generation is lost, but they're seeking self-gratification. One of the things that I figured out about self-gratification stuff, it doesn't last. You're always looking for the newest and the best thing. Hey, living for Jesus Christ, it's something that gets better and better over time. The more you launch yourself into it, The more you understand Him, the closer you feel to Him. It's kind of like when some of you were courting your significant other once upon a time. That relationship just kept getting better and better, right? So much so that you decided to marry them. Now, what happened after that, I don't know. But at least for the time, they were doing their best. They wanted to get to know you, and it was getting better and better. Hey, Jesus Christ is just like that. It never gets old. It never gets wore out. His personality doesn't change when the hormones start to change and you struggle to deal with those. It gets better. It's like gold. It just becomes greater in value to you. Read through the book of Amos. If you've never read through it, read through it. I gave you some highlights tonight. We're gonna finish it up next week. 30 minutes. That's going to be my goal next week. Any final thoughts? All right, everybody stand up with me. Let's sing a song and then we'll close in prayer.